disasters and emergencies happen to good people like you every day. The frequency of these events are increasing at an astonishing rate. Now is the time to take responsibility for preparing and empowering yourself for the inevitable. Welcome to the Survive University Podcast, where we provide an education in preparation, giving you the tools to get ready, be ready, and stay ready. Now, let's get on with today's lesson.
Listen up, my preps. Welcome to another episode of the Survive University Podcast, where we discuss research-based solutions focused on preparation for protecting your life and your health during an emergency or disaster. Our topics cover all things survival as we discuss with industry professionals on how to help you triumph over the toughest times in your life. I'm your host, Hakeem Isler, with co-host Maine J, the OG, aka the Ordinary Guy. On today's episode, we have author, martial arts pioneer, and father of ninjutsu in the West, my friend and teacher for over 20 years, Stephen K. Hayes. Today, our focus is on the modern application of the ninja methods of winning based on an ancient understanding of the elements. Now, turn on your ears and put on your thinking caps. Class is in session. Oh man, I am so happy and elated to have our guest on today, a man that has changed, literally changed my life and has been influential in my life for 20 years. You know, over 20 years. Stephen K. Hayes, so many people know who he is. He's got so many amazing accolades. And I want to turn it over to him so that he can introduce himself a little bit and say anything that I've missed. He's just such a wonderful guy, and he's got so many things that he's done. And I'm just really blessed to have him here today. Mr. Hayes, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
You got a couple hours. I'm old. I've done a lot of things. But I mean, I'm most well known for in the 1970s going to Japan, finding the grandmaster of the ninja in rural nowhere Japan, and studying with him for several years. And I was the only American to dedicate himself to that study. And I came back and I wrote many books, made my teacher famous, and brought in so many more people. And I think so many people were inspired. Sounds a little immodest to say this, but they were inspired by those books back in the early 80s and got a lot of people involved in the martial arts. I got married when I was in Japan, and my wife, Rumiko, she's involved in the martial art as well. So she brings a woman's view to the training. So she and I don't move exactly the same, but we follow the principles of this, what we call taijutsu, body art of the toshin do. To is sword and shin is heart, spirit, and do is the way of following this heart of the sword method. That's what we call our martial art. And I also got involved when I was in Japan in Asian spiritual study as well, a mountain practice called Shugendo, and where we go out into the mountains and try to capture some of that crackly electric nature energy and bring it back to help people. That's a short version of who I am.
Well, I think what's really interesting in my lifetime with you, my portion of my life with you, and then also telling people what I train in and telling them about you, is that everybody's always really surprised by this whole ninja thing. Everybody's like, oh, that really exists. And then there's still to this day, with all of the amazing work you've done, this view that the ninja are these ignoble like characters who just kill people and assassinate people, and they run around in black pajamas. but they don't, you know, there's no talk about the depth of the science, the depth of knowledge that comes with, you know, our training. And so I really want to, you know, Survive University is about helping people survive in all aspects of their life. And they're, as you know, from my recent book and what I got from you, the ninja were, in my opinion, Japan's greatest survivalist. You know, they survived, you know, mentally, physically, emotional, all types of oppression and hardship. And I know you personally have overcome so many different things in your lifetime. Can you tell us a little bit about why ninjutsu for you? What does that mean?
Well, you know, when I was a child, I read a novel, a James Bond novel. And in this novel, there were these ninja characters. And I don't know, for some reason, this really grabbed a hold of my spirit. When I was really little, I would see, you know, bullying and abuse of other kids. And I didn't like it. I didn't like it. But I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to fight. I came from a very peaceful family. Nobody talked about fighting. I was obsessed with gaining some martial art knowledge that other people didn't have. And this was the ninja. And then later, several years later, I read a book about this ninja phenomena and punching, grappling, locking, choking, swords, little knives, staves, how to make, you know, sleeping concoctions and how to change your identity, how to gain access to inaccessible targets, all this mind understanding who we are and how we work, and therefore understanding better an enemy or somebody who thinks they're our enemy. This was just fascinating to me. So I finally got on a plane in 1975 and just went to Japan hoping to find this teacher.
I think you changed culture forever on, because I grew up watching movies about ninjas in the 80s and thinking they were cool. and thinking they were very cool and wondering why, or how could they do things, and why wasn't there an American version of it and things of that sort, just because it was the coolest thing. It was linen, Italian cars, and ninjas. That's all it was for the movies in the early 80s. So when I met Hakeem, it was hard for me to believe that there was actually a thing, a real life ninja personally, because I thought it was something that was created by Hollywood. And then he told me about you and your journey, and it just intrigued my interest even more so. Can I ask you a question? What made you decide to follow this discipline of martial art versus any other that you see that are prevalent today?
Well, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. And you have to go back in history to really understand that. Today we have MMA, you know, you can grapple and punch and choke. And but back in the 70s, martial arts were very linear. I jokingly call them the partial arts. Karate was linear striking. Judo was twisting, pulling, giving way, throwing. Aikido was capturing energy. Kendo was the sword. And all of these were separate disciplines. And the ninja martial art combined them all. It was so old, it predated the separation of these martial arts that happened in late 1800s. In Japan, late 1800s in Japan, they split these up. And that's what captured my attention. That's what captured my passion. Everything was involved in this, from hitting, choking, mind, understanding. This was fascinating to me, and somehow I gained access to it.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Who were the ninja? Who were these folks? Where'd they come from? Like, why was there such a difference in belief structure, I guess, or this counterculture? It seemed like you always hear reading these stories, and you know, people I meet, they always say, well, the samurai and the ninja, they were always fighting each other, and they were two different classes of people. And you know, can you kind of clarify a little bit, like, who were the ninja for our listeners out there?
Well, you have to really understand Japanese warfare and politics and power structures back in the 1100s. So very briefly, there were two families that came to a clash in the 1100s, and one family won and the other was defeated. And back in those days, the cultural norm was the defeated ones were either decapitated or had to commit ritual suicide, and they would kill the children just to keep them from wanting to take power. And there were certain persons who did not commit ritual suicide, did not sacrifice their families. They moved back to these mountains that held the graves of their grandfathers. There's an extreme sense of family relationship, ancestor, not ancestor worship, that's a kind of a stupid word, but ancestor reverence. And they were politically out. They didn't have a tax base. They couldn't raise money for weapons or warriors. They had to come up with a new way of taking on the powers that were constantly trying to invade them. So originally they were a noble samurai family, but found themselves on the political outs. They were politically out of power. And those were the original ninja.
Hey guys, there is a lot of information in this podcast episode, as well as all of our other episodes. We distilled down some of the greatest lessons from all of our episodes that we share with you. You'll find that information on our Patreon account, where we would like to invite you to come over for $4 a month. You can join our Patreon account. You can help support us, keep us doing this good work, and then also learn some valuable skills. If you're looking to get more education, get into some courses, join us at our SurviveUniversity.com website. Again, that's SurviveUniversity.com, where you can gain the knowledge that you need to really grow your survival expertise. So how did, you know, we're going to get into kind of like the elements and some of the deeper things, but I want to ask you, you know, you created Toshindo, and that's what I know. That's what I came up studying. And, you know, there's often this kind of idea where, you know, people feel like because there is a modern adaptation that it's not relevant, that it's not real. Can you speak to the relevance of the ninja martial arts and the things that you saw or that you gained that came from that traditional art and bringing it forth to this modern world and how that can apply to help people today?
Yeah, Hakeem, this is really an important discussion. What I learned in Japan was basically how people fought in the 1500s. Very different from how people fight in 2020s in America or in Europe. There were principles that were very different from other martial arts, very different. And in fact, it took me a couple of years of practice to finally get it, to understand what these principles were. And from then my learning really picked up. But I came back to America, I taught traditional ninjutsu until about the mid 90s. And I just, no, we need an Americanized version that deals with American problems in order to make this really relevant. It would be like somebody studying how to repair a Model T Ford, you know, and they're an expert at the timing and the chains and all the electronics of a Model T Ford. And then they go to a Ford dealer and say, hey, I'd like a job fixing Fords. Useless. Cool skill, repairing Model T Fords. Fascinating to certain people, but pretty much useless in today's world. And that's how strongly I feel about studying the traditional ninja method, how to make black powder. You sift through the soil around an outhouse and get the urea and you make the charcoal. You don't need to do that today. You can go to a store and buy black powder. In fact, you can buy better sources of explosives. You know this well from your training. Better sources of explosives than crude black powder today. So that's a useless skill. Shuriken, we'd be left out to rust, because when a rusty, skinny blade would cut, A few days later, the person would come down with blood poisoning, tetanus, die, and there was no cure, no cure back in the 1500s. Today, you go to the urgent care center, get a tetanus shot, you're fine, you're fine. So a lot of these skills are totally out of date, and they needed to be updated and brought into the modern 20th century. I will say this, there are people who misunderstand. They don't, you know, maybe they're dedicated to repairing that Model T and they disdain modern cars. That would be a silly attitude. Somebody who is going to teach this may want to know the historical methods as well. I totally get that, but the average person just doesn't have time to do that. That would be like the specialists. People like myself and my wife, Rumiko, or you, Hakeem, you who dedicate your life to this, oh, yeah, you would know the historical, but that wouldn't be as necessary for the average person. Mm.
So that's pretty phenomenal. Yeah. I'm glad that I got a chance to talk about that because clear that up because you're probably a little bit too mushy for the podcast, but you're very important to me and what we teach. And so I want to bring that forth to get people, more people to know. So I want it to come directly from the master's mouth. That's the way.
I appreciate the fact that you recognize the difference in the two, because as you stated, a lot of people that I've encountered who are martial art specialists are purists. So they look back to the ancient way of doing things, and they, you know, anything that is modernized, it's considered wrong. So they want to pull everything back. But you recognizing that there is benefits to pulling from the past, but you have to adapt it to the future. I mean, that kind of sounds like a ninja principle within itself, just the adaptability. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yes, yes, yes. And that leads us perfectly into the elements and the Go Die and things of that nature. So, you know, most listeners won't know what that is, Mr. Hayes. You have a new book where you discuss a lot about the elements. I mean, you discuss it in pretty much a lot of your books. Can you explain to us this concept behind the Go Die, where it came from, what that means, how is it relevant for the average Joe, and why you talk about it so much in your new book?
Well, you know, one of the things I discovered in Japan was a lot of the ancient cultural material that informed the martial art. In Japan, a lot of this stuff came from Buddhism because it had been brought into Japan in the 500s. Maybe a parallel would be the knights of ancient Europe. They brought a lot of their values in from Christianity, and that informed what they were doing, charity and duty and so forth. So a lot of this came from Buddhism. You don't have to be a Buddhist to understand this, though. I think one of the wonderful things about Buddhism is you don't have to believe it at all, but it still works. You know, it's a mind system, not so much a system of worship and reverence. So one of the Buddhist teachings was that there are these five, you know, almost laid out in corners with a center, five elements that really stand for the way we respond to conflict and confrontation. And I mean, in the Buddhist thing, it even goes so far as to say, this is an orientation to life. You get certain people, you know them, you know, they're hotheads. They always respond arrogantly, aggressively to any kind of pressure. They're gonna jump in and take over. And other people are cool-headed. You know, somebody's insulting them. They're taking it in there, figuring out where their weaknesses are. And they're just by nature that way. One of the things I thought was so important that I totally lacked in my martial art training in the 60s and 70s before I went to Japan were these mental aspects. I read so many karate champions, judo champions. People asked him, how do you always win all the time? And the person would say, I never back down. Well, that's great if you're a fire nature person, but I wasn't a fire nature person. That doesn't help me at all. There's got to be more to it. And I found these five elements were the key to understanding our emotion when we're attacked. Last thing I'll mention is in a self-defense situation, most of us are having a good lifetime. You know, having a good lifetime, we're enjoying ourselves, we're out, maybe with somebody we enjoy. Maybe we got a wife and the kids, we're out, we're having fun. And that's our goal, to enjoy life. That's our goal. We run into somebody who doesn't have the same background. Maybe they had a rough week. Maybe they had a rough lifetime. Maybe they were abused. They're violent. They're angry. They see us and violent things come up. You're too happy. You're too beautiful. You're too wealthy. Life's going too well for you. I want you to hurt as much as I hurt. Now, they don't actually think that, but that's the spirit, you know, of a violent predator type of person. I'm ready to have a good day. He's looking for a bad day. How do I turn my mind quickly to adapt to where I get home happy and healthy? And that's the real essence of why there are these elements. They teach the secrets. They teach the secrets. And I was just so lucky to discover this and do the research. I also involved myself with the Tibetan monks, Japanese holy men, Tibetan monks. There's a certain version of this that exists in Tibet as well. Some people think that's funny. Tibet up in the Himalayas and Japan, these islands down here have the same thing. Well, once upon a time, it existed all across Asia. And then the Muslim conquerors came through and they took over China and India. This is a baby version. And the only place they couldn't get was the mountains of Tibet and the islands of Japan. They tried to get to Japan, but a typhoon came and blew all the ships away. So anyway, today, Japan and Tibet have this similar teaching. And that's probably more than you want to know.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Really good stuff.
Can I ask a quick question? For those of you that don't know, like the OG ordinary guy, can you break down the different elements real quick and just give a brief overview about the different elements and how you can describe them?
Sure. I think that'd be a good thing to do here. Maybe the first element is called Earth. And this is a kind of person who is very stable and very solid. Let me act this out on screen here. Earth element would be like dropping on your heels. And when I was a child, they used to have cartoons and the cop, you know, in the cartoon, the cop would be beating his stick and he would drop on his heels. You know, it would just show his authority, his command. And that's what Earth element is. I'm coming up and down. Mm-hmm. There's a breath connected with Earth where I take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Deep breath in. I'm in command. I see this trouble coming up and I'm strong enough. I'm solid enough. I'm knowledgeable enough. I can just repel it. And that's the Earth attitude. And some people come by that naturally. Earth attitude. I'm in command. I'm in charge. And now there's a negative Earth where you get a little too much of that. And we might have a moment to go into that at the end of this. There's a negative Earth. There's too much of that. And that puts a person off balance. On the opposite side, they call this a mandala. It's a schematic. This mandala, a schematic of how the mind works, how the universe works. opposite of Earth is wind. And so whereas Earth is stable and solid, wind is free moving. So if a person were in some kind of a conflict or confrontation, yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with this. You argue, go ahead and argue. I'm just going to go over here. So wind is characterized by movement this way, not up and down, repelling, but just evading. Somebody's attacking here. Oh, I just go by and move. I let them have all the fight they want, just not with me. I'm not there. I don't care to argue with them. The breath of this wind is very quick in breath and long out breath, and a quick in breath and long out breath lets me adapt and find where they're attacking. And I just move that part out of the way as somebody comes in. So no argument. So earth and wind. So earth is command, wind is freedom. And we need both of this, in our
Can I ask you a quick question, sir? I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. Just a quick question. So for those of you who are listening to the podcast and not privy to the Patreon account where you can see the video of it. So for Mr. Hayes, you said for earth, basically it's heels planted. It's a position where your heels are planted and you are the rock that cannot be moved, where wind, I mean, when you visualize it, when I saw you doing it on screen, it was almost like you're standing there and you close your eyes and the wind moves around you. You feel it on your upper extremities. Basically it finds any entry to get around whatever that obstacle is. Would that be a good description of it?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, maybe like earth is roots of a tree way down into the earth, so solid. And wind would be leaves way up high in the tree. The wind blows and the leaves just move around. And when the wind's done, the leaves are still there, that kind of analogy. Deep roots and the leaves. Yeah. Let me see how I can phrase these next two to where we can, somebody who's listening and they can't see it would find this of value. There's water and fire. So earth, water, fire, wind. These are the elemental codes for ways that we respond, the ways that we behave, the ways that we interpret conflict or confrontation. Water is one where we are very strategic. If conflict or confrontation comes, we put a little distance between ourselves and it. I need more time and more space. Hey, are you just shooting your mouth off here, pal? Or you intend to rob me or smack me around? Or do you want to like stab me or kill me? I mean, what's going on here? I don't know. Oh, he knows. I'm a good person, but I'm just having a crappy day. I got fired and my wife ran off with her boyfriend and, whatever. I'm just having a crappy day and I'm mad because I think you took my parking space. And oh man, listen, I get it. I feel so sorry for you. Let me back my car out. You have the space. You deserve it today. You're having a crappy day. But they never announced that. They just, aggressively blow up. And so I put distance. So people who can see, I angle off, angle back into the side, and I put myself in a place where now they have to come after me. They have to come after me if they're going to do anything. So I now know, oh, he's serious. If they stand there and yell and call me names, okay, I can take that. But if they step towards me, now I know. So it's a scientific viewpoint. I call it subjective wisdom from the inside out. How does this relate to me? It's subjective, cool, very knowledgeable, maybe a professor, a doctor, researcher, somebody like that would be the water nature. And the fourth one is fire nature, and that's the opposite of water. So as a wisdom, it would be objective wisdom. I don't really exist here. I'm paying attention to what you are doing. I'm watching so carefully. I know what you're up to next, maybe even before you know. I'm observing a little thing. Somebody's there, and they've got their feet planted, but they're leaning in and yelling insults at me, but their feet are still here. You know, if he wants to fight, he's coming at me like this. Okay. So I notice little things like that. Oh, okay. He's just shooting his mouth off. Now I can say certain things that are going to make him lose his cool and attack, or I could say things that, you know, maybe dismiss him. He's yapping at me, and I can fit in. You know? Oh man, I'm so sorry. You are the third guy today that I've just hacked off. I'm making everybody mad at me. I'm just going to get my truck and take off. I apologize. You have a good day. He might accept that. But did you hear where I was speaking from? Yeah. I didn't say, hey, I'm sorry. No. I spoke from a deep inside my stomach voice where he might get it. This guy gave me a break here. Something a little funny about this guy here. So that's the fire. I'm dealing with what you are experiencing. Fire person is very tuned in to, you know, to fashion, what's cool, what's not cool. They are entertaining because they're paying attention to the other person. I think a good comedian is a fire person. You know, they figure out what's making people laugh, and they can alter their routine and go that way. So that's fire. Water breath. I take in a slow breath and drop it out. Taking a slow breath and drop it out. Fire breath. I take in a quick breath and quick breath out. So we have these relationships of in and out breath that stimulate certain nervous centers and channels in the body. And so we can kind of will ourselves into these elements just by changing our breathing, changing the breath, changes the nervous energy, changes the physiology. I mean, can you see how much material there is to learn? We're just briefly touching on this.
Knowledge bombs. We tend to drop them a lot around here, and we appreciate your feedback and support for the information, interviews, and perspectives shared. Become a Patreon supporter for Survive University and get additional exclusive content not shared during the podcast. Patreon subscribers also get information on other Survive University products and projects before they're released to the public. So visit patreon.com/Survive University and join us as we continue on this journey to get ready, be ready, and stay ready like never before.
The amazing thing about it is that we started off this show talking about a martial art known as ninjutsu. And the way you're breaking it down for us is you're showing that it's so much more mental and spiritual than it is physical, which counters what most people believe. They think it's, okay, technique and routine and repetition and muscle memory. But you're breaking it down to a level that shows that this is far more mental initially than it is physical.
Oh, yeah. But don't you think that makes sense?
Yeah.
This is a survival art. That's the point of this whole podcast, survival.
Yeah.
How am I going to have a good day? Yeah, when there's no electricity, when I'm suddenly on the run. How are we going to get food? How are we going to get shelter? There are things you can learn. And I think even a survival situation, it's a lot of it is mental. Wouldn't you say so, Hakeem?
Yes, absolutely.
I panic. I'm out in the woods and I panic. And you had a situation on TV where your partner drank bad water. You knew the water was bad. You're not going to drink it. But she was so desperate, lost control of her mind. She drank this bad water in the woods of India. My gosh. mentally I lose it. You know, I heard a one survivalist teacher, very famous, he suggested to me, he says, well, you know, once you realize I'm in a survival situation, this could be bad. Snowstorm, truck is in the ditch, or the opposite, it's hot. I don't know. He says, the first thing I always tell people is take a deep breath, bend down and tie your shoes. I said, really? That's your survival? He says, that's the first step. Because inside you, it'll calm you down. You're doing something you know how to do, and you're in control of it, and it just calms you down for a moment. Just tie your shoes. Okay, I did that. Straighten my pants a little bit. Okay, now how am I going to look at what it's going to take to survive? I thought that was brilliant. I thought it was brilliant instead of just racing off and doing these things out of panic. Same thing with physical self-defense. You know, somebody comes up and they give us some rough language, or, you know, they may even smack us on the chest. You know, a lot of us, our first response, hey, come on, I don't want to fight. Hey, you know, that's exactly why he's picking on you. He doesn't want to fight either. He wants to administer a beating. He thinks if you got some fight in you, oh, this could go his way. He doesn't want to mess around with you. He'll call you a name as he backs away and laughs as he runs away. The cowards, dirtbags, always do that. You know, they got to think they won. You're a wussy. You're yeah. They say that, and they laugh and they smack their buddies as they get out of town. You know, makes them feel real rough and tough. And again, I go back to it. I live a beautiful life. I have a beautiful life. This is my house dojo. We also have a city dojo as well. This is my private dojo. I live in a house of my dreams. I'm married to my dream girl. I have my dream kids and dream grandkids. Fortunately, everybody's physically healthy and safe, and all of them following their own personalities. I drive my dream cars. I have dream friends. I got a beautiful life. So I can there, from that position, I can give a poor loser a break, you know? He calls me a wussy. You know, he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. You should have mentioned I was bald. You know, you put that in there too. Yeah. What is with this guy? You know, I'm pushing buttons, trying to get him angry, and he doesn't get angry. No, see, I'm up here, pal. You're down here. You're a poor, you know, wretch who's having a bad lifetime. I feel for you. You know, that you could be me. I could be you, but I was blessed. You were not blessed, or you haven't found the blessing yet. I can give you a break. I'll give you a break. That kind of an attitude, as opposed to somebody pushes a button, I'm ready to fight and defend my honor or my male ego or whatever. Now, I don't know if that is ninja training or just getting old.
No, I think it's a combination. It's wisdom and both. I mean, wisdom and the ninja training, the ability to discern that, you know, the power, you already have the power within, so there's no need to enforce it or go around searching for validity in other people's weaknesses because you already got it, you know. Good stuff. I have got one more question, Hakeem, and I know I've taken this over, mm-hmm. but this is, I get good information from you,
yep.
and I got I'm getting good information from the source where you got your good information from, but you a lot of the things you talked about is internal. In describing the elements, how much of it would you say is up for that individual to decide which element they are, and how much should they take from their environment to decide which element they are, as far as the people around them, their peers, and things that people deflect on them as saying, this is your personality, and deciding what element they truly are?
Yeah, this is one of the hardest things, Maine, to discover which personality you are, because we're a product of our culture. And so I would like to, my American culture, for a baby boomer, I don't know if it's so much for Generation Z or whatever, but for a baby boomer, American culture was kind of fire oriented. You know, early bird catches the worm, you get up, you work hard, you do a good job, you get rewarded. There was, you know, gregariousness, fitting in there. So we can kind of want to be a certain element, you know, it changes ourselves. So it's very hard to figure out which one you are. You have to look at your results and how you work when you are under pressure. And that's very difficult. It's easier to tell somebody else what somebody else is in nature. But I think it is rooted in our bones and muscles, you know, our physiology and our way of thinking. You know, we're kind of born into a particular element. And you can take it in positive ways or you can take it in negative ways. Negative Earth is somebody who's just so stubborn and, you know, like a stick in the mud. You give them a new idea, they'll got 7 reasons why it won't work before they even think about it. This would be a person who, my granddaddy was this political thing. My parents were this political thing. I'm this political thing too, because that's the only reasonable way to be. Things change. Maybe if you examine it, you know, or a little controversial, but why most people are of a certain religion. You know, I mean, if you asked a Christian person, hey, how did you decide to be a Methodist as opposed to a Lutheran? My family was Methodist. We never thought about being a Lutheran. Or, you know, hey, you're Jewish. How did you decide to be Hasidim as opposed to Reform? It's kind of just inherited it. So there's too much of this stuck in the mud. And the opposite wind element, negative wind element, is just too free moving. I'm so open-minded, my brains fall out. I don't stand for anything. And you're always skirting and you never take a stance. So it's insecurity. Negative Earth is too much egotism and arrogance. Negative wind is too much insecurity, maybe even envy. You know, well, he's lucky. You know, he did these things and he didn't really do it. It just showed him, but poor me, insecurity and jealousy. And negative water is too much distance, where I cease to relate to other people as human beings. There are things that interfere in my getting what I want to get in life. Anger, even hatred, is the negative water element. And negative fire element is kind of a desperation. I see something that I think will make me happy and I chase after it. And I'm constantly chasing, constantly hoping to get something that will make me happy. Whereas negative water is, I'm reasonably happy. I'm afraid you're going to take my happiness away. So I make you an enemy. So there are negative aspects of these elements as well. And you have to take that into consideration when you look at who you are and where you're coming from.
Well, in closing, there was a fifth element that we didn't cover. What is that fifth element? Can you give us a really quick understanding of the positive version and the negative version, or if there is one, or how does that work?
Well, there is the fifth element, and that's the center of all of these. It's called the void. We used to have this. We used to call it the ether in Western science, ether. And then it went out of favor, but now it's kind of coming back. Science is sort of saying there's like a carrier in terms of these other elements. And that would be the creative potential, where I see the picture and I can go into earth, go into fire. My positive aspect would be I know a lot and I can see so much that I understand this person is upset over this contradiction. I can see so much. I said, well, there's not actually contradiction there. There is a harmony when you look at the whole picture. So it's broad-mindedness. You know, this could be used in a self-defense situation. I heard a story from my dad. He was talking about this old woman in South Philadelphia who ran a liquor store. This was like back in the 40s. And she had a little liquor store and she was ready to close up. And these 3 guys come in, you know, one guy like leans against the door from inside and the other goes over and stands by the pay phone. Back in those days, you had to pay to use the phone. And third guy pretends he's looking at liquor and she knows they're there to rob him, you know, at the end of the day. And So this guy walks up to her and she says, "Hey, what do you guys want? Hurry up. We just had a robbery here. The cops are in the back grilling the guy. What do you want?" So they bought a little cheap bottle of wine and got out of there. There was no robbery. There were no cops. She just was clever enough. She knew it would throw these knuckleheads off. So that would be like a positive, creative way of defending yourself from the void. Negative void would be just, there's so much knowledge that I get confused and I just narrow down. I think I have the answer for everything. I don't. I'm subject to fads on the internet and social media, and I think I know all the answers, but I'm like a barnyard animal, you know. Hey, somehow when it rains, I'm in the barn, and somehow when it's sunny, I'm out in the field. How's that happen? You know, well, there's a farmer who takes you in and out. Hey, I get corn to eat. Well, you were born to eat grass, but they're feeding you corn to fatten you up. Oh, and every month a couple other animals get on a truck and they take off and we never see them again. But I don't question that because life's not so bad. It's just not so bad here, you know? And so that would be the creative void element.
Well, that's phenomenal. This really is, for me, the art of winning, right? The art of gaining control of yourself and gaining control of your life, gaining control in a way that you can empower and help other people, which really is what Survive University is all about. And so it was very important for me to have you on this because, you know, you are a great example of that. And not only do you have this knowledge, but, you know, it's part of who you are, it's part of your being. And so I am really, really blessed to have you on the show today, Mr. Hayes. And, you know, definitely are going to have you back again so that we can talk about some other aspects. I'm sure the people, our listeners, got something really great out of this that they can use and bring with them to their next adventure. Let me ask you really quickly, I got some questions here. Can you give us, you know, what's your focus in this modern day? Like, what are you focused on now?
Well, right now, my kind of number one question, even at 72, I'm almost 72, is how can I take all of this knowledge that I've gained over 50 years and make it more concentrated so I can get more help to more people more quickly? They wouldn't spend years talking to Tibetan monks and monasteries to discover the five elements. They wouldn't take years to develop a 14-point code of mindful action, a code of ethics. Maybe they could learn the physical skills a little faster if I had better exercises to explain this, to get this through. So I'm really concentrating on how I can increase my value to people. And at the same time, acknowledging that most people don't have much of an attention span now. Would you agree with that? You know, you look on online and it says 5-minute video. I don't have time for that. I was hoping, you know, he'd handle it. No, I mean, they do that. They do that. And we used to bring out a DVD of the month and it was like 90 minutes. And we found, no matter how good the material was, people were just not putting it in and sitting there for 90 minutes. The kids want to go here and the wife wants to do that and the husband does this and they don't have 90 minutes. They just don't have it. They're not allowing themselves to have it is what the truth is. So how can I transmit the intelligence of the ages in sound bites?
All right, my preps, that's our episode for today. Thank you for listening and building your education in preparation with our special guest, Stephen K. Hayes. You can find out more about him at stephenkhayes.com. Please remember, Real survival is not about what you can do as an individual, but when you are empowering those around you. Due to this, we ask that you share our podcast with your friends, and we always appreciate a review. In addition, if you are looking for training in the field as it relates to preparation, you can join one of our courses on SurviveUniversity.com, or you can also find out more about us and learn special skills on our Patreon account. Remember, our focus is to get you ready so that you can be ready and stay ready.